Got to be a funny sight. Last week, Anzac long weekend, got invited to go down to Mayala because a friend or a friend got a holiday home, double story, got invited. Whoa, go down there, relax, shoe off, sitting on the couch, get fed with all the food around me. Suddenly, on my phone, they start ringing. Who is that? Oh, it's Richard. What's going on? Chris, do you know you're speaking this Sunday? I was shocked. What? So I sent an emoji, you know, the one with the big eye. What? I said, you are speaking this Sunday. So from there on, my holidays all psh, go down here. As I was, the subject I'm talking tonight is from taken from the book of 1 Colossians, chapter 15 and 23. And thanks for coming up tonight. It's only a small portion of the book of Colossians, so I hope it encourages you as much as it is for me. Shall we open in prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to help us? Father in heaven, we just want to praise you and give you thanks so much, Lord, for the salvation that you have been given to each and every one of us, that we can enjoy the peace and the love that you have, because knowing that you are with us always. Lord, as we look at this small portion of the Colossians, and we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to help us and to encourage us. And especially for myself, Lord, the words that come out is not for my own strength, but by the guidance of your Holy Spirit. So I commit this meeting in your hand and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Now, just a bit of background. If you look at Colossians, it's same as Ephesians. Ephesians is talking about the body. And Colossians is talking about the head. So Colossians is talking the head. It means he is the basis for the believer's hope, the source of the believer power for a new life, the believer's redeemer and reconciler, the embodiment of the full deity, the creator and sustainer of all things, the head of the church, the resurrected God-man, and the all-sufficient Savior. Now, the whole purpose is to show that Christ is preeminent, first and all and foremost in everything. And the Christian life should reflect that priority. Believers are rooted in Him, alive in Him, hidden in Him, and completed in Him. Believers are to make Christ first and foremost in every area of life. Now, as I prepare this message, you know, after I coming back, so, wow, got a few days to prepare all this. I meditate day and night and say, God, give me the wisdom, what I should say, so that people will know I'm only a mouthpiece of the small scripture that's given to me. So as I meditate, even at work, so I ask my colleague this question. I say, when you think of God, what do you think of Him? What do you think He looks like? And the answer I get is quite interesting. And some say that He is just a light, like a sun shining down. And some say He's pretty tall, got a beard. And some say He's living up there, looking down at us. And some say, I'm not sure. But deep inside, they know there's something, but they prefer not to talk about it. It's just like humanity, all of us, have been looking up in the heaven and imagining this all kind of fanciful God. So with all the different religions in the world who claim that their God is the true God, do you have the confidence to describe who is Jesus Christ? That's my title, Confident in Christ. Remember in the Bible, Jesus himself, when he walked on this earth, he turned to his disciple one day and said, who do you say I am? Now, it is a critical question here. As you can see in the book of Colossians, what happened 2,000 years ago is the same today. Jesus said to you and me, who do you think I am? Good question, isn't it? There's so many religions in the world. Everyone claims to be their God. Who is Jesus? Do you have the confidence in Christ to say and to describe who he is? I have cut down quite a bit, so I got a bit of time so I can expand, go back to my original things. Paul wrote that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. God the Son, God who became flesh, became the visible representation of the immortal, invisible, and the Almighty God. God had the same form as the same form as the God the Father in heaven. Now, they should not be confused as mankind made in the image of God. Don't confuse that. While God made mankind in his image, mankind is totally different from our Almighty God because Jesus is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God who came to earth and in a human flesh. And he is the visible representation of his invisible heavenly Father. So Jesus is God. Now if you look at John chapter 14, verse 7 to 11, he described, this is what Jesus says. Say, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. But Philip turned around and said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered to him, don't you know me, Philip? Even I have been among you such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracle itself. So we no longer need to be in confusion here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus said, he was and is God in the flesh. As first Colossians, the first verse, he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Israel as a nation is called the firstborn in the Old Testament. So is King David. Now neither was born first. David was the youngest in the family. But both Israel and the nation and king, they are called the firstborn. They're giving the rights and privilege before God that the firstborn had. This is some culture. If you're the firstborn, you got a lot of privilege. And so is the Jews. I'm the firstborn. So he is the creator and the earth. Because by all things, For by him all things were created, both in the heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or ruler or authority, all things has been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now we live in an age where the most people, they don't know who our Creator is. In fact, many people don't even know if there is a creator at all. And people have claimed that science can explain everything. You speak to a lot of people and say, I don't believe in God, I believe in science. Science can explain everything. But you find that a lot of scientists, that the more they look at it, the more marvel they are of the complexity of the world they believe in. They can see a creation, but they don't want to submit to a creator. They can see evidence of design everywhere, but they just don't want to acknowledge and there is a designer. Maybe they all just say, well, it just happened, you know, bang, it just happened. It's just about chance, mutation. Society has tell our kids that this world is the product of a random force and chance. They are really just evolved animals. You listen to King David in Psalm 19, 1-4, he say, the heaven declared the glory of God. The sky proclaimed the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice go out into all the earth, their word to the end of the world. And also listen to Job. In Job chapter 12, 7-10, he say, go and ask the animals. But ask the animal, and they will teach you. Or the bird in the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and they will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of these does not know that the hand the Lord had done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Now it doesn't matter what you're looking at. Whether when you look up in the heavens, the animals, the birds in the air, the tree, the seed, it doesn't matter. And there's a wonder and majesty in all of this. There is a design and there's a designer. And Jesus is the one who created. John say like this. In his book, in chapter 1, from 1 to 3, he say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things come into being through him, and apart from him, nothing come into being that has come into being. Now let's look at a couple examples. Two basic things, the planet that we live in and our body. You look at this planet here. It's perfect for human life. Our closest, Venus and Mars, no life except Earth. Now you think you are sitting here, quite stable, sitting down here. Listen to me. You are neither. You are now currently doing about 30 kilometers per second. And you're spinning up to 1,700 kilometers per hour, that's scientifically easy. In fact, scientists tell us that our planet sits in the zone that is not too hot and not too cold. It turned out everything is just right, our Earth, just right. Now, if you look at the Earth you live in, there are so many just right for the life to exist, including the force of the gravity, the oxygen, the air that we breathe. It can't happen just by chance. There are too many factors involved. And they all tell us, they all scream out that there is a wonderful designer behind it all. What about human being and the DNA? We all started life as a single cell. Single cell. And from there, how does the cell know how to multiply and to build a body? How incredible it is that you come from a single cell and multiply into 100 trillion or so cells. And in those cells is the DNA, and you all that need to know what its function is and to what part of the body it belongs to. And come from there.
So how incredible is our Creator? But this is the God that you and I one day will stand before Him and see Him face to face. Just incredible thought, isn't it? Now science, they can't tell us who designed and why designed. Now lots of people, they put their faith in science to tell them all the life mystery. Science tells us many things, but science can only go so far. Colossians chapter 1, 16, it says, "For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or power or ruler or authority, all things were created by Him and for Him." And that, my friend, included you and me. You were made by Him and for Him. You were created to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ and to find your purpose and your joy in Him. So are you giving Him the place in your life? Now, He is also the head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have the first place in everything. The first part of this message I just talked about is about Jesus Christ, our Creator. Now I'm talking about the second part, it's talking about our Savior. He is the head of the body, the church. What do you mean by the church? The church is not any particularly congregated church, Presbyterian, Brethren, whatever, no. Or the church of Colossian or Corinthian. But the general assembly of people who come together, confess and declare that Jesus is the center of their life, whose names are written in the Lamb's the Book of Life. Now this is compared to a human being, all different functions, they all work together to achieve a common goal. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether they are Jews or Gentile, slave or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. So of this body, the church, Christ is the head. Romans 8:28, it tells us, and we know that all things God works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now Christ, who was not only in the beginning, but He's also the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the head of all principality and the power, the angel, the prince of the king of this earth. He is the king of the saints, the kingdom of the nature, and He is the beginning of the church, of which He is the head. Just as Eve was from Adam, so is the church from Christ and the temple of His building. Now when you think of all the wonders of God in creation, it says here that He, Jesus, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In another word, through the resurrection, He began something completely new, and that is the new creation. Now this new creation cost Jesus His life. He had to die on the cross for this new creation. The first creation started with the heaven and the earth, He made it. On the 6 days, make us. But in the new creation, the order was reversed. He began with the mankind, and then later on, He will create the whole new heaven and the earth. Where do you think I get it from? Revelation chapter 21. What do you say here? You say, this is Paul. You say, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the earth, they had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, the coming down out of heaven from God, to prepare a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them, and these shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he sat on the throne and said, Behold, I have made all things new. And he tell Paul, say, Write, these words are true and faithful. And Jesus also says that it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all the things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be have not yet made known. But we know that when he appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? In Colossians chapter 1, 19 and 22, it says this, For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemy in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. This is the true wonder of God. Why this is the true wonder? Because a man like me, through fallen, desperate, wicked, and an enemy of God, could, through the work of the cross and the shed blood of Jesus, be reconciled back to God and to be found holy, to be without blemish and free of accusation. Jesus is reconciliating all his creation back to God. He makes peace through his blood shed on the cross. For all have sinned and fall short in the glory of God. Christ, Jesus, is the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 9 told us, Christ has become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hand and not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of the goat and the calf, he entered the most holy place once and for all time and secure our redemption forever. What a privilege it is. You know, when Christ died on the cross, they say, it is finished, no longer that you have to do. And the temple curtain torn from top to bottom for everyone who believe in him. No longer that you have to sacrifice all that, because my sacrifice is enough. That's why Jesus on the cross there, he said, It is finished. I fulfill what God has sent me to do. It is finished. No longer all you have to do is come to me. That's what God to say on each and every one of us. All we have to do is to believe in him. If you look at the creation, Adam's one sin to bring condemnation for everyone, we all die. But Christ, one act of righteousness to bring us back to a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, Adam, many will become sinners. But because of one other person, he obeyed God, many will make righteous. Romans 5 verse 1 to tell, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. You know, this morning, I have thought the whole afternoon, Barabbas. We are all Barabbas. Christ take the place. And on that cross there, I know it's hypothetically, you know, were Barabbas standing there, looking at the cross, say, that could have been me. But Jesus took the place there. We are all like that. Colossians 21, it says, once you were alienated, you are so far away from God, and you were enemy in your own mind because of your evil behavior. We are so far away from God because of our unbelieving heart. Because there's no God in our life. Now, if you don't have God in your life, you don't have a goalpost. Anything goes. We become so self-centered and follow the sinful desire of our heart. What's stopping us? There's no God. Titus 1:15, he says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupted and unbelieving, because their mind and conscience are corrupted. Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us, once you are dead, because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in the sins, just like the rest of the world. You're obeying the devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. He is the spirit of work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. That's the world we live in. And all of us used to live that way. Well, I hope we are not used to live that way now. Following the passionate desire, the inclination of a sinful desire, by our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Romans 6 tells us, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus. And because of the love and the grace, He has now reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, and all of this is a gift from God. He has brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer He counting the people's sins against them, and He gives us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassador, salt and light of this world. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we pray to say, come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right through Christ. Now there's no one else like Jesus, creator of the heaven and the earth and all the things that it contains. He made it all. He is preeminent because He is the beginning of the new creation. Death cannot hold Him down. And all these things are pointed out by the apostle. He said that He should come to have the first place in everything. First place in everything. And that including you and your life. So, you know, I hope that this topic, confident in Christ, have focused your thought back upon the wonderful person of Jesus Christ and His position in your life, what it means to have Jesus in your life. For Jesus had paid a great price for our salvation. Because of his death, we become new. We are born again. When people say, what do you mean we're born again? We are born again because we have Jesus in our heart. By the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How to live a Christian life? Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind things above, not the things on the earth. For when you die, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is our life, appear, then you also will appear to him in glory. Paul said that we have this salvation if we continue in faith, steadfast, and not shifting from the hope we have in the gospel. Now the faith that we have, saving faith, it is a persevering faith. Continue on steadfast for the faith that God has given to us. Because Hebrews 11 had told us, by faith we understand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans 8 says that. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creating shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The agape love of Christ, which have no condition. Now in conclusion, I just have to say this. To have confidence in Christ is to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing you can add on it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Now as we pilgrim to this world, may the Lord continue to guide your path and my path as you place your faith and confidence in him until the day he calls us home. So I hope this little topic encourages you as much as it has for me. Shall we close in prayer? Oh Father in heaven, we just want to praise you and give you thanks so much for what a wonderful Savior that you are in our life. We even know, Lord, the faith has come from you. Help us, Lord, to continue steadfast for the faith that you have been given to us. And as you have said, although we live in the world, we are not of the world. And as we pilgrim in this world, may you continue to show us and help us, Lord, to live for you and to fulfill the purpose that you have for each and every one of us, for we are all body of Christ. So, Lord, we just want to give you thanks so much for being our God in our life. In Jesus' name.